Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, coming to you from the new MHA Studios, and we got a great episode for you guys today. I am really grateful to have this guy in here because, funny enough, when we first met, it was like right when I was kicking off CMJW Entertainment. I was telling him I'm doing all this stuff for my family room, and now literally here we are. So it's kind of a cool full circle moment to now to be able to celebrate him and his music. He's got a new album out. It came out in October. It's called Dexville. Definitely worth checking out, and we're going to be getting into that album. The process in what made the album what it is, him as a musician, and probably some more stuff, especially since we have a shared background in radio. So with us today, we have Declan the Celebrity. Dec, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. How you feeling?
I'm good. This is my first interview. Blood's flowing a little. I'm excited.
It's all good. We'll calm you down as this goes on. But no, I'm really grateful to have you in here and everything. We met little over a year ago, right when I got laid off from my radio station. Yeah. You're over there at iHeartRadio. You're busy over there. We've done a lot of events together where I'm either working for Dutchess Beer or representing myself. But one thing I always just got to say, you have such a positive energy about you
every time
that you're there, and so welcoming to anybody who comes through. I just got to give you a lot of credit for that. So I just want to give you the space to talk about it. It's like, how do you feel like when you're interacting with the iHeart audience in that way through all these events?
Yo, so it's actually kind of funny because I was like the kid that like on a progress report would get like I would get the comment that would say like talks too much, like distracts others. And you'll never get a job out of that, you know?
Oof.
And now it's like, aha, because now people just come up to the table and I just get to yap and I get paid for it.
Yep.
So it all kind of just works naturally. I feel like I just found like a paying, like a role that I can actually like just be myself in. I feel like that's always what. That's what you want to do, right?
No, absolutely. So, yeah. It's funny that the thing that people were afraid were going to hold you back was the thing that's helping you excel.
Yeah, right.
Because not only, you know, just working in the radio space is just you trying to, you know, make some money right now. And that's kind of as you're building up. But also, it's the thing as an entertainer to be able to engage with an audience.
True.
Whether you are doing your song or it's crowd work in between or you're talking to people before or after a show or just simply meeting folks. So it's extremely important.
Yeah.
No, it's a great skill to have.
Thank you,
Do
bro.
Not I downplay it because seriously,
that.
Your smile, your energy, it's great. It's very welcoming.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. So let's get into the album. You were telling me about this last year that you were working on this music and that you were putting it all together.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how, you know, both of us, we've succeeded in what we manifested at the time. And I think that's really incredible. So Dexville is your album, and just want to get into it. What inspired you to write Dexville? And is there kind of a theme that you would relate to it?
So I think the best way to describe like Dexville would be like, if there was a town or a parallel universe, I feel like is like the best way to describe it. And it's just like, almost like all my thoughts, like in a chaotic way, I guess. It's almost a side of me that's like wilding out all the time, but like you can't just do that. So it's like that's kind of always what music's been for me, just a way to just bug out. But yeah, and I really went buggy with it. Like I was like, I don't know, like you heard some of the songs.
I only started listening to it. I got to listen to the full thing later. I got a little too tied up, but I'm still excited.
So yeah, it's just, it's really just like, I think it's just something you really got to listen to. And I was sending it out to a bunch of people. I want to shout out my friend Anthony Cannon. He was providing me with a lot of guidance as to how to get the word out that the music was existing.
Yeah.
So he told me to start hitting up review pages. He sent me a few accounts to contact. And I got genuinely, like generally good, like positive reviews.
That's good.
Except this one, but it's all good. But
was there anything constructive out of it? Is there anything that you can take and put a positive spin on it?
It was kind of my fault because when I looked at his account, it was like, all like heavy metal reviews.
Oh,
so it was like,
okay.
I didn't do the proper research. It was more just like, ah, God, like I gotta show people. But yeah, everybody else that like is like into the scene and into hip hop and all that, they were expressing love for it. And as a new artist and this being my debut project, that's all I'm really looking for. Just people to be like, there's something there. You know, like I'm not expecting to drop and it's like, he's Tyler the Creator or whatever. It's like, yeah. So I'm cool with just general like, appraise.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. Well, hey, Tyler, the Creator, and so many of the other rap legends out there, rap hip hop legends, they had to start somewhere. And the fact that you're having such positive responses within the community so far, that is good.
Yeah.
So when it comes to getting into the hip hop rap genre, what were some of your influences growing up that really made you decide, it's like, oh, shoot, I want to do that?
So my dad is a lead singer in a rock band. Shout out to Pink Torpedoes.
Nice.
They're still doing shows. He's like 60, so that's dedication. You know, he really loves it. And I think I got some of that from him. And my mom really loves music too. So like, I know it sounds cliche, like you bring any artist in and they're like, what, there was music playing in the house? There was just a lot of music. Like, so I just came up through that. And then when I was in third grade, I found Eminem and I was like sneaking down onto the laptop and was listening to Not Afraid on one block.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, like, I don't know. I was nervous. I was like, man, like, but, yeah, dude. So, kind of, it just spiraled from there. Like,
Not Afraid. Good song to, like, be introduced to everything, too.
Dude, I feel like Not Afraid. I feel like that's, like, Eminem's one of, like, everyone's first favorite rappers.
Definitely of our generation, I would say so. Yes. Without a doubt, you know, he really revolutionized the game, made so much of it mainstream in the 21st century. He did start out in the 90s, but, you know, the work that he did post 2000, I think, quite incredible what he was able to do for the industry. Not to say that I love his Slim Shady days.
Oh, dude.
But his Slim Shady days versus what he was able to accomplish in the 2000s. He needed Slim Shady to do everything he did in the 2000s.
Yeah.
8 Mile onward, you know. Yeah.
I just watched that movie the other day.
Did you?
Man, Brittany Murphy is so hot.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah, she was definitely an actress who, very beautiful, but also at the same time, so much potential. I would have loved to have seen what she could have done more
for
of.
Real. What else was she in?
She was also in Clueless. She was in Uptown Girls. That's the movie I was trying to say. It was with Uptown Girls. Oh, it was Dakota Fanning. Okay, I was right. I should have stuck with my gut.
Yeah.
Okay, it was Uptown Girls with Dakota Fanning, Clueless, 8 Mile. Those were amongst like her top ones.
Yeah.
She was also like in Sin City, Just Married. I forgot that she was in Happy Feet. Did you ever watch Happy Feet?
Yeah, dude, a long time ago.
She was, was she Gloria? Hold on. Yeah, she was Gloria. She was Mumble's love interest.
I'd have to rewatch the movie.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this time of year, even though it's not specifically a Christmas movie, but it's wintry, it works this time of year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So definitely worth bringing that up. But yeah, no, 8 Mile, that was a huge thing. I wasn't even that big on rap growing up, but that movie was crazy.
Yeah.
Inspirational, heavy, not something I should have been watching at that age, but it was, you know, definitely influential in a lot of different ways. Also to think Anthony Mackie started off as Clarence and everything. Now he's Falcon and Captain America and everything. But I love it. I think it's funny. Did you ever watch the show Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus?
No. Is that Marvel?
It was Marvel,
I haven't seen a single Marvel movie. I don't like it.
Not a big
DC
deal.
Guy.
I like DC too. I love it all. But there's this incredible fan edit that I really love where it's like they call him out on the sidewalk. Hey, it's Black Falcon. And in the show, he says like, it's just Falcon. What? Am I Black Falcon because I'm black? But instead, they cut out that half and they replace it with Eminem calling him Clarence on stage.
Oh,
so there's a really fun edit like that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
No, it was good. So Eminem, definitely a big influence on you. Are there any other artists that, whether it was in rap or hip hop or somebody in rock, like somebody that your dad influenced you with?
I got so many influences. I could give you three. In rock and rap, if that's cool.
I would love it.
Okay, bet. So I'll start with rock. We got the Beatles.
Nice.
Oasis.
Oh, yeah.
And the Clash.
Ooh, Clash.
Yeah.
All right.
Because
Beatles and Oasis, I get those. Beatles, quintessential. Oasis is trying to be the Beatles. But then the Clash. Okay.
The Clash,
all right.
Dad.
That was the third one I was not expecting.
Yeah.
But they're good, though.
Yes.
I like that.
And then For rap, I'm going to have to go. Man, there's so many. I got to say Mobb Deep. Big L. An Outkast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll admit, as I said, wasn't too big in the game when I was younger, but Outkast was somebody I definitely went on my way to listen to.
Outkast. That first album, man. Oh, I've been on a big Outkast kick lately, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a little tangent coming. Because, like, me and my friend, shout out Al the Punisher, we're working on our next, our EP is called Big Heads.
Oh, cool.
And
collaboration EP?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I did a similar thing with my man Gus, shout out Gus, back in March. we did something called Cartoons for Criminals and Scum. And it was kind of like an appetizer because he dropped his album, Post Traumatic Renaissance, and I dropped Dexville. So we both kind of were like, you know, let's put a little something out.
Nice.
So me and Al are looking to do a similar thing. And I noticed that whenever I lock in for these little duo projects, I lock in with like some sort of duo. I was listening to Helter Skelter, if you know who that is.
Yes.
When I was working with Gus on Cartoons, and now I'm listening to Outkast. And I can definitely see the influence bleeding through to the music.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's also funny when you say Helter Skelter, obviously very hip-hop oriented, but the name and some of the influences they had were also the Beatles to Helter Skelter and everything that was going on with that. Mind you, Helter Skelter is a wild track from the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, Paul, what are you doing? But no, gnarly track. It's fantastic.
Do you have a favorite Beatles album? We could really break it down on the
Beatles,
man.
I don't know about if I have a singular album per se, but I will say this. I tend to be okay. Actually, this is a good question for you. Are you more a John guy or a Paul guy? Because I feel like I tend to lean more with Paul.
Okay, yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. But there's something about when John Lennon was like on acid,
when
some crazy like Sgt. Pepper's at Abbey Road are gotta be in my top 10 albums of all time. Like, there was just something about it, man. So good.
Oh my gosh, no, it was very creative, everything that they were able to put together during that time period. Sgt. Pepper, the track itself, not even just the whole album, so good, man. What they were able to do, and then of course what George Martin, their producer, was able to add into that, just it pushed the boundaries of what they thought people could do in a studio at the time. They really made the studio an extra instrument, and that was like one of the first times where I've heard that concept used, where the studio itself was the instrument. So I think that's really cool. When it comes to the Beatles stuff, it's like I respect John's stuff. I love a lot of John's stuff, but I always find like I've gravitated towards Paul's stuff because even when he was writing the heavier stuff, he found a way to make it accessible to just about anybody.
Yeah,
and
that's a good point.
And that's something that I really admired about Paul's stuff. He was slightly more melodic. I might get some crap for this, but I think he's a better singer than John, but that's just me. But it also depends on the song that you're listening to too, because there are certain songs you're like, Paul can't sing it the way John did, and there's no way.
But like, Let It Be is like, that's a Paul song.
That's a Paul song.
Got the two lanes where it's like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds couldn't. Could it be Paul? I'm trying to picture it in my head.
But Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is 100% a John song.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Paul has done it. I'm sure there's probably videos and tracks that we can find stuff on that. But it's a John song.
A very John song.
There's something to John's cadence and tonality where it's like, no, that works for him. Yeah. And that's 100%.
Oh, yeah.
But could John do Let It Be? No.
Yeah,
No. But, you know, I think of other tracks like Norwegian Wood or Eleanor Rigby or things along those lines. You know, those are ones that really stand out for me any day of the week. 8 days a week. I got a funny story about eight days a week. I was doing this rock star camp when I was like 13 years old, where they put us into rock bands together. We formed rock bands. We got to perform the songs. And I was with these two little kids who were very heavily influenced by their parents, who were big Beatles fans. And they wanted to do 8 days a week so badly. And the rest of us wanted to go like something really hardcore rock. But he convinced the counselor to do that. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. But like,
out of all the Beatles songs, they chose 8 days a week.
I know. And that was the other thing. It was like, can we choose any other Beatles song? I'll do Yellow Submarine for God's sake. And no shade against 8 days a week. But I was just like, for this rock star camp. And mind you, the other songs that people were doing were like Don't Stop Believing and Living on a Prayer and like big epic songs like that. And we're doing 8 days a week. And I'm like, come on. There are so many other epic Beatles songs we could be doing right now, but I digress. That was that situation. But so when it comes to albums, I don't know if I have one specific album, because I can tell you songs off Sgt. Pepper that I love. I can tell you songs off the White Album that I love. There's just a whole array of it all. What about yourself?
Abbey Road's
your number one.
You gotta also I was watching this YouTube reaction video the other day, and this guy was like, first reaction to the Beatles' Abbey Road. And it's like, word, like, gotta see this. So I click on it, and it was pissing me off because he wasn't letting the songs play through at the end. You know when it goes into the part where all the songs are connected?
Yes.
He was stopping it.
No.
It's like, you can't, like, I feel like someone's got a preface before, but it's like, man, if you haven't heard Abbey Road, like, now, like, you know. who's still like, oh, I gotta check that out.
It's crazy, you know, what's like that? People who are very much into it, they know it, but you know, to new generations, it's harder to find. I'm always blown away. It was like when like some of these reaction channels is like, how have you never heard this in the ether? You know, like just being out there in public, like how'd you never hear something? The whole Abbey Road album, I can understand that, but like the singles off of it, whatever. But dude, I love that so much with albums when like they find a way to connect all the tracks, dude, and you're listening to it, it's like, wait a second, that's from this, and like how it's all connected. Yeah. I love that stuff because it shows that it is this one cohesive project. It doesn't have to be, say, a concept album, but just a very cohesive project. I love it. Oh my God, I would have been pissed off too.
Yeah.
When I see those reaction videos, there's some people I like because they'll let the track play through, or they'll at least back up and then let it continue and feel everything.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who just pause it at the worst opportune moment. And it was like,
Right before the beat's about to drop,
right?
Like the punchline, and they're like, yeah.
And then they just never go back to it, and then they'll just move on.
It disappears under the blankets. Whatever, man. Not much we can do about it.
No, we can't do anything about it, but it's a matter of just hopefully getting out there and educating people on it.
Yeah, facts.
It's like, listen to the songs. Enjoy the songs.
Yes. So, listen to albums in order?
I try to, yes.
Okay, cool.
No, if I'm listening to an album for the first time, 100% it's got to be in order because there's a reason why the artists put it in that order.
I get it. From my perspective, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. No, you have to listen to it in the order they intended. Then if you're going back and you just want to hear certain songs later, fine, whatever. But at least get one time going through the entire thing. I mostly, my favorite artists, I will enjoy their album through and through. I'll put on the album, Good Car Ride, we're good to go.
Yeah.
So talking about that then, and structuring the album, any album, let's talk about structuring your album. Was there a specific flow that you were trying to give when creating Dexville?
Yes. Bro, so there's a song called Real National Parks. I guess I could start with saying this. Shout out Angel the Alchemist. She features on there.
I love everybody's stage names. These are awesome.
There's like a train sound effect at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the best way to describe it is almost like you're on a ride through Dexville.
Mm.
So like the first three songs is like you're going there. You get there at the end of Real National Parks. And then you're chilling there for a long time. And then placemats, you're out. Slide, man.
Okay.
And I want to like burst my own bubble or like say anything crazy, but we do want to do a second one.
Nice.
So yeah,
return to Dexville. Yes. Nice.
Yes sir, exactly.
Very, very good. I love sequels of stuff. One of my favorite artists of all time, Meatloaf, and he's got Bat Out of Hell and then Bat Out of Hell 2 and Return to Hell. And it's like, oh my God, I love those albums so much.
Man.
And there's Bat Out of Hell 3. We don't talk about Bat Out of Hell 3, but like it's
kind of one thing I do worry about is if I like, cause yo, I think this album's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I love this album.
Yeah.
It is like my baby. So like, I will talk this thing into the ground. no one's stepping on Dexville. I'm genuinely nervous about following up strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'll be able to do it. It's just a matter of like, when will the inspiration hit? Cause I was sitting in my car driving home, just listening to music. And I just saw the like album art
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, Dexville, like it's a town. And I was like, oh, that was easy.
Nice.
You know? But then I obviously had to make the album. I feel like it's like, I'll make my best stuff with just the most thin idea. Like, it's like, if everything's getting too packed in, it starts to be like, oh, like, what are we forgetting? Like, what are we putting in that we should take out? I feel like when I keep it concise in my head, that's when it's going to happen. So I'm almost waiting for that to happen with Dexville 2. But for the meantime, we've got Big Heads, like I said, coming with Al and my next album, which I'm not going to reveal the name yet, but it's super cool. It's really cool, man. It's super chill.
I'm excited to hear it all. No, I'm excited for the direction that you're going.
Thanks,
and a couple of things that you were saying off of it just reminded me of a few moments with, you know, my experience in music. I had this one professor, boss, mentor, friend. His name's Sean Wendell. Hey, Sean. He said when I was working on my very first album, first studio produced album, he says, like, remember, this is your first. If this is the best work that you're ever going to do, that's sad.
Yeah.
The whole idea is to keep growing and progressing. So here you are putting out Dexville, you were extremely proud of it, as you should be. But it's a matter of, as you find the inspiration for the later stuff, you know, you're going to be able to keep learning from this experience. The other thing that I wanted to mention was how you were saying about staying concise, staying to a specific idea. I was speaking to a couple of producers from the group Flight to London. They've worked with phenomenal, phenomenal artists. Trying to remember Bon Jovi, Ace Frehley, who else were they talking about? Avril Lavigne, Sabrina Carpenter. They've worked with just about anybody. Okay. And the project that we were talking about, they were saying that they limited themselves to five reference albums, five albums that they loved, and they stayed to that. Oh. And by keeping themselves to those limitations, they were able to have that concise vision, kind of similar to what you were saying. So it just reminded me of all that. So here you are starting off, and you're already embodying all these ideas of pros out there.
Thank you. That's awesome, man. I like to think of myself as a pro.
There you go. You're getting out there. You're getting started. But absolutely, this came from somewhere. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today. Make sure you pass along a kind gesture, because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. It's the end of the year, and you may need to free up space for guests for the holidays, store seasonal decorations, secure valuables, and maybe even hide the presents. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings before, during, and after the festive season. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fun Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. So obviously, with your dad being in a rock band for many years, I'm assuming he must have been very supportive with you and music. Even though it wasn't rock, I'm sure he must have still been supportive in that way, right?
Yeah. I think that, yeah, no, they definitely support it. I think they're happy that I found something that's like, I actually like.
There you go.
You know, because I did kind of spend like a lot of my like younger years just doing like aimless bullshit, just like for lack of better terms. So like, I think they were just happy that I found something that I actually have a drive for. Yeah. Like I wake up in the morning, this is all I think about. So it's like, I feel like everyone needs something like that.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have that. And now I can see why they were concerned because at a certain point it's like, you know, you got to find something, you know, you can't just, so yeah.
It's crazy when that moment where it's like you have a passion and you kind of look back at the days before you realize what was going on. I've had this conversation with a number of people and I always find it interesting. And it's different for me because I've always had this vision. So I've never not had this vision.
Yeah.
But when I've had other people talk to me and they say like the moments of the before and the after, they're like, oh my God, if I knew then what I knew now. But other people were like, thank God I had those moments so I can learn what I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
What do you say looking back on those aimless moments prior to like really finding yourself? Are you grateful for those moments? Are there things that you wish you would redo, or is there a mix of both?
I don't think I would change a thing, man.
That's good.
I think that just, I'm very happy with the person I've turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, I feel like if I were to, what's it called? Butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Like change one thing and all of a sudden, like, you never know, bro.
Yeah.
I may not be here.
Exactly.
If I didn't, like, you know, so I wouldn't change a thing. I'm surrounded by great people, man. Sitting here getting interviewed about my music.
Absolutely.
We up, man. Let's go.
Hell yeah, we're doing it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for anybody listening right now who they might feel like they're in that aimless stage, is there anything that you would say to them, like, as they're working it out?
Man, just, it's going to sound corny. Stop looking out, and you just got to look in. And it's that sounds stupid when you look at it on a surface level. But really, like, there's just so much stuff outside. Like, I feel like we live in an age where we're so influenced by just bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, like, all you got to do is look at phones. Like, you go on there, social media is just showing you a bunch of stuff, what you should like. Like, what this, oh, this is popping. You got to do this, that, the other thing.
Yep.
Fuck all that, man. Like, you know, like, if you want to do something that makes you happy, you're going to own that. And you're just going to, I'm telling you, you're just going to thrive. Like, just look at what you, just pick one thing that you like and see how far you can take it. If I can keep it as short as possible. That's the best advice I got.
Very well said. Very well said. Absolutely. So let's kind of dissect this album a little bit deeper now. I obviously, when I write music and when I put out my albums, I'm proud of the whole project. You say that you're proud of this whole project. But we all know that there are certain gems and certain moments that stand out to us more than others. And certain moments where like, oh, this is like the piece de resistance of the album.
Yo.
This is like the moments where like, yo, you, if you're going to listen to it, you got to at least hear this. So are there certain songs or certain moments that really stand out to you in this project that you hope that people really hear and really sink in?
Okay, so I was just down in the city with my boys yesterday, and we were actually having this exact conversation.
Really?
We got the best verse on there.
Okay.
And oddly enough, our bro, shout out the Prism, wasn't there. Priz, you got the best verse on the album, dude, according to all of us. It's track 16. It's called Very Medicinal. He is the very last verse. It's me, him, and my other friend, 513J, shout out Jay. Jay and Prism have never met. They didn't even know each other.
Really?
I don't even think they knew that they were going to both be on the song. I kind of just, like, sent it to both of them. Was like, here, I need a verse.
Yep.
And then they did it. It worked out. So, yeah, he bodied that shit. Like, if you go and listen, he's got a real, like, he really knows how to catch a pocket. It's, like, it's insane. Like, the bounce almost. It's, like, once you catch it, it's, like, yo, he's really talking.
Mm.
Like, ah, oh, man, he's an incredible rapper. I would go check him out. The Prism, TH3 Prism.
Okay.
Stylized like that.
No, I like it. And which track was that again? Very
it's
Medicinal?
Very Medicinal, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to listening to that one.
Hell yeah. And then
just writing it down. Obviously, I'm going to listen to the full thing through and through, but I'll be waiting for the moment that I get there.
Yes, sir. Another one that my friends really like is this song called Bushmeat.
Okay.
Basically, like, I think that's one of my most cohesive verses ever.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, bushmeat is, right?
Yeah.
It's like just like wild animals. So mm-hmm. I just basically just wrote about living off the land in the jungle and feeding zombies.
Mm. Zombies,
stupid,
okay,
right? It's just like, yo,
it's
like,
not
whatever,
stupid, but know? Interesting
but at
lane.
The end of the, exactly. So, and it just worked, and the beat is like super contrasting to the lyrics. So
mm-hmm.
It's like a beautiful beat. It's like I love this beat. And it just really plays well off of it. And I know that shout out Buck Nasty. He really likes that one. So shout out Buck. I knew that one was super cool when I made it too. It's one of my favorites.
Nice.
And then I'll plug one more, do another theme song. Me and Gus did a song called Zephyr. It's like a two-parter. I have a lot of transitions in the beats too.
Mm.
So I'm like a producer first. I was making beats first, but I digress. Yeah, so I did the beat switch, and I had Gus come in on the second one, and we were waiting months for it, bro. Like, and then he came, laid it down, and I was about to keep it off the album. I was like, I can't keep getting bodied by my friends on my own album. But it's like, you know, whatever.
But when it's so good, when it's golden, it's like, you know, it has to get out there. See, but that's why I love collaborating with people, because they can take it to levels that I cannot do alone.
Exactly.
And that's something that I really had to, I'll admit, in the beginning, I really struggled with allowing other people to come on and be great, because, you know, I kind of had a little bit of an inferiority complex. I'm like over here, like, it's like, I don't even belong to be in the same room as these guys, let alone them be on my project.
But what I will say is that will keep you sharp.
Yes.
You can't be working, like, you can't fall in, you'll fall into stagnation. Is that even a word?
Yes.
Word. All right, so you'll fall into that. And I don't know. I feel like it's never too good to get comfortable in the arts.
Absolutely. No, it's a matter of keep growing. It's a matter of staying sharp, as you said, because it does help you to learn. It helps you to grow. And most of the time, people aren't looking down on you. Everybody's just using their strengths.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody pulls together one way or another. What one guy is going to think of is not what the other guy is going to think of, and you're able to build on that. And that's the really cool thing. Limitations inspire creativity.
Yes.
So being able to get out there and find new ways to make certain things happen, I find that amazing. And I'm glad that you're able to acknowledge the people that are on your album to the way that you have.
You could be
here right now and say, it's like, oh yeah, I'm the best or whatever. But you've mostly talked about the people you've worked with, and I think that's great. So another thing that I just want to pick on real quick, how you were mentioning the transitions with the beats, and I was going to ask you, do you produce your own beats yourself? Do you get them from other people? You answered that already, as you said, you are a producer. Yeah. You've been making beats, but go through the process. Was the majority of the album all you making the beats, or were you working with other people in that regard too?
Yeah, so pretty much 99.9% of the time, anything that you're going to hear me put out is gonna be my beat.
Nice.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm a producer first, so, and I'm also trying to build something. So it's like, I don't know where I do understand how I could go and go get a beat, because there's so many talented producers that, like, I also do
absolutely
know and stuff. So, but it's more of a thing where it's like, I want to build my current sound up and really like pad the catalog.
There you go.
Yeah. So doing that, and then just grow the fan base, get them used to a consistent sound,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll know when it's time to start branching out. But for right now, in-house. If it's not me making a beat, it's my boy Double O. Shout out O.
Mm, very cool.
Yeah.
How long you guys been working together, doing beats, being creative like that?
So I've been making music for 10 years.
Nice.
They've probably all been making music for 10 years plus. I'm 23. Their average age is like 27, 28.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they've definitely been around for a while. But I also think that's cool, because I feel like it does say something when you're working with people older than you,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I do take that into consideration when it comes to when I'm feeling beat up.
Mm.
But yeah, so we were tapped in for the first time. I went out to Binghamton last Halloween with Gus, and Al like let me on a bill last second, my bro Al. And yeah, that was it. We pretty much just locked in from there. Like we all just fed off each other, and it was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the collaboration aspect of it all is fantastic when you're able to work off of, inspire each other. You know, whether it's here in a conversation environment, whether it's doing acting or improv, it's a matter of just working off of each other, building off of each other. It's one of the best ways that we can go out there and to succeed. So I think that's great. When it comes to, you mentioned how you got onto a bill when you're out in Binghamton. With an album, you always want to get out there and want to promote that thing. So do you have any upcoming shows that people might be excited about?
Oh, so it's
I understand. I don't have anything either at the moment.
No,
he might have something, but I don't have anything at the moment. So I feel you.
So actually, let me plug my friends real quick.
Okay.
There is an account called Full Blast Booking. If you're like good, tap in with them and they will probably hook you up. They do shows mostly the Northeast region.
Mm-hmm.
Always bringing in cool names. I did one with them. I opened up for Rick Hyde.
Mm.
Rod Digga opened up for. Terminology opened up for it last summer. But they're bringing Pace One. I don't know if you know who Pace One.
No, I'm not familiar.
He was with Eminem, like before Eminem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's super cool. Nice. I would love to just go, and even that's just like some fan shit, like, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm a nerd about this shit. But yeah, that would be awesome. So you might catch me out on Long Island February 20th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
And that would also be super cool because I know I went to SUNY Oneonta, mm-hmm. so I know heads from Long Island, so I feel like I could low-key get some heads out.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
No, very good. Oneonta, that's a pretty good school. Were you there for music, communication, something like that?
I was there for media studies.
Media studies, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know that they have a pretty good department for all those different things. I wasn't sure like which bucket you fell into specifically, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
So being 23, I'm just figuring out the timelines there. How much did the pandemic influence your college time then?
Man, so I graduated in a COVID year.
Yeah.
So, like, we didn't get the prom or the grad. Actually, the graduation was kind of sweet. We were at the drive-in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we had the AC on in the car.
Cause I
went to my brother's 2 years later. Bro, I was like a lobster walking out of there. I was burnt. It was horrible.
It's bad. God. I remember my my graduation. We were out on the football field in the direct sunlight, and I'm just dying.
That's what I'm saying. It's not it. Yeah, so that was that. But then when I went to college, I'm trying to, like, how can I explain this best? Everybody during COVID was like potential energy. So, bro, when we all got up there,
it was kinetic.
Oh my God. That went kinetic like that. Like, and then I don't know if you know, but Oneonta had like a big deal with COVID outbreak and they had to like send everyone home.
Oh, again?
Yeah. Like, ooh, 2 weeks into the semester. So, it really started for us in the spring.
Okay.
So, yeah, it actually really threw a wrench in it, probably because we were a little irresponsible, but, you know, fuck it.
It's your college kids.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Going to be whatever. There was a party that I was supposed to go to that I didn't go to. Thank God I didn't, because everybody at that party contracted mono.
Oh, dude.
I'll let your imagination go from there. Oh, but yeah. I will say this. I already had mono by that point, so you can't get it again. But still, you knew exactly who was there at that party because they were out. So it's like they're out with mono. I was like, nope. And it was like, you were at that party. It was like, yep.
Where'd you go again?
So I went to the College of St. Rose up in Albany. Yes, rest in peace. Right. Yeah, it's not there anymore. Peace, but I got to say, the time I was there, I loved it. I was there 2016 through 2020. So my last year was the pandemic. Yeah, that I remember we just got back from spring break and then they send us off again.
So you didn't even get to like really take in your last few weeks?
Not really, no. The last really 2 months of it was all virtual. And it was crazy. And I'm glad that I did things the way that I did it, because at St. Rose, our capstone project for the music industry department was to make an album. So I got to do that in the fall because I chose, it's like, let me get it out of the way in the fall. And that way I can just kind of like rest easy. I'm not worrying too much. And also not as many people in the studios in the fall. More people did it in the spring. So I was like, all right, let me do it in the fall then. So I did it in the fall. We are also supposed to do this big convocation performance. And I did this whole big performance. I did a meme medley of Never Gonna Give You Up, Hooked on a Feeling, It's Not Unusual, All-Star, Take on Me, Sweet Caroline, all this. It was a medley.
Full LP.
It was cool. It was a cool medley and everything. And
what is a medley?
So it's where you take a bunch of songs, throw them all together, and mash it into one song. So kind of go from one song into another.
Shit.
Yeah.
I got a few of those.
Yeah. So it's neat. I'll show it to you later.
Yeah.
And I did it in the fall because sometimes stuff like that fails. They even if you did a great job, they'll fail you anyway just for not taking it seriously. So I'm like, all right, so if I don't get it in the fall, I'll just make up for it in the spring. So I do all these things in the fall, and then I'm like, yeah, I'll just enjoy the spring semester. I'll be like, last semester, party up, have a good time, won't have to worry about anything, just be able to chill, relax. COVID. And it's like, so, but I'm glad I got all the big stuff out of the way before it, so I got to experience a senior year.
Yeah.
I didn't get to party a senior year, but it'd be what it'd be.
Yeah.
But it's all right. It's funny. I was like the opposite of most. My freshman year, I had like three jobs and I was super responsible. And it wasn't until about like late sophomore year, getting into junior year, that I actually started like getting into the party scene and everything. While all my friends were dying down a little bit, getting a little more responsible, and they got their party scene out of them, I was just getting into mine. So it was funny to see the dichotomy between my friends and I, the way that we would go. It was like, Connor, settle down. We're trying to study for this. It's like, I studied my ass off already. This is my turn. But we still managed to get some good times in. It was a good area. Love the Capital Region. Very grateful for it. Oneonta, one thing, I was looking into Oneonta. I feel like besides the campus, and correct me if I'm wrong, there just wasn't a lot around the area.
Yeah. That's why everyone gets so fucked up all the time. There's just nothing else to do. It's just like it's just that. And then they got the, because everyone, I feel like whenever you say Oneonta, they're like, oh, about Cooperstown. And it's like, what do they think? We just go play baseball? you really can't do anything else.
You can't go to the Baseball Hall of Fame every single weekend.
So, yeah.
Even though I do love it, I'd probably go at least once or twice a semester. But that's about it if I was near there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was. Have you ever heard of Tony Danza from Who's the Boss? Angels in the Outfield. He was in a lot of stuff like 70s, 80s, 90s. Big TV and film star.
Oh, Tony Danza.
Tony Danza. Yeah. I was talking with him for an interview maybe like 2 years ago now. I interviewed Tony Danza for Town Square when I was still over there. Man. And he was talking about how his grandson was playing at the Little League World Series over there. And when word came out that he was in the audience, when he was there out in the stands, people got up and started doing the Angels in the Outfield wave.
Really?
Yeah, he said it was such a touching experience.
Damn.
And I said, it was like, how'd your grandson feel about that? Was he embarrassed? Was he cool about it? I was like, no, he loves the movie, so he was in on it. He was having such a cool time. But that's like one of those moments like, damn, I wish I could have experienced something like that. That's magical right there. That's magical. I loved Angels in the Outfield growing up. I know I'm getting on such a weird tangent, but like I loved that film. That was so good. Did you ever see it?
Do you like baseball a lot?
I do like baseball.
Okay.
Well, I see you got your Met hat on and everything.
Yeah, baseball is a little sore right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
And football. I'm a Jets fan.
I was going to say, I remember we talking football last year when we were over doing some events in Wappingers. And yeah, Jets weren't good then. They ain't good now. And
the Rangers, too. They're slipping this year.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of surprised about that.
It's not good.
Nah. All your teams are kind of failing you at the moment.
Man. So it's
tough to be a New York fan with some things.
Yeah, right.
Bills?
The Knicks, though. Buffalo.
You don't like Buffalo?
I'm a Jets fan. So it's like, I couldn't even imagine.
I'll lean a little more towards Buffalo. So like I'm having a fun time. I'm like, it's a nail biter right now.
It's a nail biter when it
comes to the Bills.
Like, that was a good game the other day, though.
That was a really good game. You talking about the Pats and everything? Oh my god.
That's the team I hate more than the Bills.
Honestly, at this point, like especially like the way that we grew up and we saw like the Pats dynasty.
Yeah,
it's like nope, we're done. We're done.
Side note, did you see Phillip Rivers?
Yeah.
He didn't do like bad.
No, not at all. Oh my God, not at all.
Like, how old is he? He's like got to be close to 50, right? No?
He can't be that old. I thought maybe like close to 40, but all right, we're Googling again.
I didn't mean to call you a geriatric.
Well, he is in football standards, but.
Yes. I was just nervous that he was going to get hit.
Yeah, he's 44.
Yeah, that's still.
But again, for football standards, that is definitely on the much older side. But no, he ain't 50 yet.
Yeah. My fault, man.
Nah, you good. You good. No, I was impressed. It's really cool to see. It's like, hey, when you train and you work that hard and you get to a certain point, it's like you're in, if you can avoid injuries enough or at least bounce back from injuries enough, you can have quite the career and you can still do just fine for yourself. Oh, my God. Same goes for music, too.
Yes.
And same goes for music. As long as you treat yourself well and you're able to you can have that longevity and you can keep getting better. That was something that like some of my professors said back in college is like, as long as you don't get into any serious health concerns, you're going to just keep getting better and better and better as the years go on.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't stop, right? Like repetition is key. That's everyone that's ever given me advice on this shit is just keep doing it.
Absolutely.
Keep doing it.
It's a matter of the consistency. If you're going to subscribe to something, you want to go all in and you want to be able to give it your all, because at the end of the day, you can at least say it's like, hey, it may not have turned out the way that I planned for good or bad, but I gave it what I could.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the big thing with this. So getting back to the album and giving the album everything that you could, you already did on the productional end. Now you're in the promotional side. You're getting that out there. With that being said, we're recording this during the holiday season. This might air January. I'm trying to figure that out. But as we're looking to a new year, What does the new year symbolize for you, your music, the album, and just Declan the Celebrity in general?
Like, we're just gonna, me and all my friends, Avant Garde Kings, Royal South, those are the names, the group names. We're just gonna keep our foot on the gas. Like,
yeah.
I see nothing but like good things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, everything is just, I feel like everything's lining up too well for nothing to happen.
The stars are aligned,
yeah,
just
it's
right.
It's just like, I don't know, like, I feel like the main reason I feel so confident is because everyone's so excited.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, you can do so much when everybody is just so delusionally pumped. Like, seriously. Like,
I love that
you
term.
Got no idea. Because, like, sometimes, like, you know, because you can't have low vibes and yeah. stew and like all that stuff. Or then it's going to be like people start second guessing, start like reading body language. Just like, well, he doesn't like this song. Cause yo, I've been there too. I like you hyperanalyze someone when you're playing them a song and it's like, why isn't he nodding his head like this?
Yeah.
So like,
I try not to look at people when I'm showing them music anymore. Yeah. I just stay in my lane. I don't even look. I don't even, whatever is like, we'll talk about it after. I'm just going to sit right here and not even look.
So like when everybody, like I said, I was down there yesterday. I got the chance to play Gus a few songs that me and Al have been working on for the Big Head EP, and he was like, hell yeah. Like, nice. It was just like classic, just like, I love that so much. There's never like a thing where it's like, I think that it's almost like, are they lying? No, they're not lying, but they're not. That's the thing.
It's that too good it's to be true mentality.
Yes,
yeah.
But it's just like, man, like there's just such energy that comes out of like the link ups, for lack of a better term, to be like, this is all for nothing.
Mm.
You know, I refuse to even like put that into the universe. Like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
No.
I loved it. I'll never stop.
No, keep it strong. Keep it positive. Just keep on rolling with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Deck, it's been a pleasure to have you in here in the studio.
Thank
I really appreciate you.
Right?
Absolutely. As we wrap this up, is there any last little nugget that you want to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience? Could be about anything.
You know, man, congrats to my man, Connor, for real. Like he said earlier in the interview, I like met him right when he was starting this out. So this dude right here, if you're looking for inspiration, you got it. Like, and here.
No, and here too. 100%.
Really built this up, and like, I'm so grateful that you could like have me on here, and just, you're doing a lot for the community too. Like, I think that's an understatement. Like, I don't know a lot of platforms around here that are like this.
Well, I appreciate that.
So yeah, bro, thank you so much.
Yeah, the timing worked out really well, because when we met last year, we were both working on things, and a year later, here we are with something to show for it.
Man,
so,
bro, I'm glad to be here with you.
Glad to be here with you as well. Make sure that you check out Dexville. We're going to have all the links in the description of this episode so you can follow him on social media along with learning more about his musical journey. We'll have all that and more, and we'll keep you posted if we hear anything else about dates or anything like that that you should know about. So, of course, make sure that you stay up on all that. I'm Connor.
I'm Deck.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, V-Bash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.